I am sitting here with someone I refer to as my hero. And what you do is amazing. Navy aviation search and rescue swimmer. This isn't at a swimming pool. This is in the ocean. And it makes me think of that movie years ago. You saw the movie.
Yeah, The Guardian.
Exactly. Kevin Costner was a rescue swimmer. He was with the Coast Guard. You are with the United States Navy. But I assume there are some similarities. Did Hollywood get that right?
It's both. It's what I do with a Hollywood twist. I don't think there's anybody in the world that is getting a divorce because they're rescuing so many people on a daily basis. But a lot of the basis for the movie is very, very, very accurate. He kind of went in and made his own version of the school, but the version of the school as it was before he made his own version is fairly dead on and fairly accurate. A lot of the operations within the helicopter that you saw were fairly dead on and fairly accurate. They did a really good job.
Officer Caprio, if my ship was going down in the middle of a typhoon at 2 o'clock in the morning in the Indian Ocean, you are the man that I would want to save me. How long have you been doing this?
I've been in the Navy 7.5 years. I joined as a rescue swimmer. Obviously, I had some training. I had about 1.5 to 2 years worth of training before I started actually working the job as a rescue swimmer. But I've been in the Navy 7.5 years now.
I look at what you do as being a lifeguard times 1,000.
A lifeguard plus. We go through a lot of the same training, get a lot of medical qualifications, if not a lot more in some aspects. But then we go through a lot of other training, because now instead of just watching someone at the pool, we're jumping out of a helicopter. We're hoisting people into helicopters. We're doing special warfare support out of the helicopter. We're flying. Just flying in itself is an enormous job, and knowing what to do and what to look at and all of that. So that's why you have so many different titles. We probably have 3 or 4 main jobs that all get piled in to the same person. So,
all right, let's see if I understand this. Search and rescue. Not everybody you find will be alive.
Everybody I've pulled up has not been alive by the time I've gotten to them, which it's a sad part of the job, but it's just as necessary, and if not more fulfilling, to bring someone home that might not get to come home.
And not everybody you find will be in the water. It's natural disasters wherever they occur.
As far as our job, I mean, there isn't a natural disaster in the world. Any sort of hurricane, any sort of natural disaster that happens. Pakistan, I went out to Pakistan for the earthquake in 2005, did a lot of relief effort there. I can't tell you how many people's lives I touched, how many people I saved. I mean, people that were on the brink of death, flying them in, getting supplies, getting medical, getting doctors and stuff out there. I was fortunate enough to be over in Pakistan, but unfortunately that kept me away from things like Katrina. I went down to Gustafson when it hit the Gulf the year after Katrina. A lot of the stuff I've done in the Gulf, but what could go wrong, things like Gustafson, the levee right there had a massive ship sitting right off the side of the levee. They were afraid it was going to bust the levee. And then you get into like flood rescue, you get into pulling people off roofs, you get into swift water rescue, things along those lines.
I'm going to say that one thing that makes you among the best at what you do is your passion for the water. I don't mean disasters. I mean, you love the water. You're a boater. You're a swimmer.
Like I said, I have a young daughter and a wife, and I mean, those take up a lot more time, and I don't get to go play as much as I might have in the past. But in the past, absolutely. I'm a big outdoorsman. I love swimming at the lake. I love going out water skiing. I've spent a lot of time on jet skis in my life and wave runners in my life, doing that sort of boating activity. I just love the outdoors.
So, passion for the water. You're clearly a good swimmer, but does that mean that because you are a good swimmer, you don't need a life jacket?
Absolutely not. It's the contrary. I mean, when I go rafting, I go whitewater rafting and stuff. There's no way in heck I would ever get on a river without a life jacket. When I go boating, there's no way I get in a boat without a life jacket. There's absolutely no way I'd ever get behind a boat and go skiing or anything without a life jacket. It's not a smart thing to do. It doesn't matter how strong of a swimmer you are. When you fall over and your head hits a log, or you get knocked unconscious, or you get caught in an undercurrent, it doesn't matter how good of a swimmer you are. You have to have a respect for Mother Nature and for what Mother Nature can do to you.
Well, the Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife certainly thanks you, and also thanks a colleague of yours, Lieutenant Commander Michael Noss, a Navy SEAL, who has also been a part of our Your Life Jacket's Got Your Back, Good Swimmers Wear Life Jacket series. And the SEAL training, we know, is absolutely brutal. And that doesn't take anything away from the training that you go through to be a search and rescue swimmer. Can you give me a thumbnail of what you have to go through?
Well, our school has like between an 82 and 83% attrition rate. A normal day, I was consuming 6 or 7,000 calories and still losing weight going through that school. The school consisted of probably anywhere between 5 and 6 hours of fairly intensive working out every single day, followed by another 2, 3, 4 hours of instruction, and not necessarily sitting in at a desk instruction, but still swimming in the pool, things along those lines type instruction. It's all about making sure that you can operate on your own, because it's one of the few jobs in the Navy that when you leave the helicopter, you're by yourself. There's no one else there to help you. There's no one else in the helicopter that can get in the water with you. There's no one else that can help you. If you get in trouble, that's that. It's going to take them a good amount of time to get somebody out there to help you out.
So where is it you train?
We train in the pool. We train in the ocean. We do open water swimming, which contrary to what a lot of people know, open water swimming is like swimming in a river, but in the middle of the ocean with big waves. The ocean's a very strong beast. We do survival training. We do water survival training. There's a portion of my training where I did have to swim a mile in full flight gear just for survival. Hey, the island's out there. I got to get there type training. I did training in the mountains of Maine, survival training in the mountains of Maine. Trained in San Diego doing actual search and rescue type training and flying type training where I got to learn how to fly.
But this isn't 9-to-5 stuff. This could be any time, 24 hours a day, right?
Oh, I mean, even still, I train at 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't know if I'm going to get up at 6 in the morning to fly or if I'm going to be flying till 4 or 5 in the morning. But when I'm at a flying command, oh, absolutely. I mean, my schedule is anywhere between midnight to midnight, and I never know when I'm going to be working the next day or when my hours are going to be, and it's part of the job. It's part of the training.